The World Health Organization defines addiction as a chronic relapsing condition. Dahab Private Hospital recognizes that addiction is a multifaceted illness affecting an individual's physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, social, and practical well-being. With 28 and 90-day residential rehabilitation programs and Dahab's accredited private health fund approved treatment service, you or your loved one can get the help you need to navigate the rehabilitation process to regain control, to overcome that addiction, and to take back your life. If this resonates, then take the first step and call Dahab Private Hospital for addiction treatment. Addiction is treatable and recovery is possible. 1-800-329-422 or dahab.com.au. Dahab is one word, D-A-Y-H-A-B, dahab.com.au.
G'day Groovers, welcome to another instalment of The U Project. Hope you're enjoying your Chrissy slash New Year slash time off, head down, feet up, contemplating life period. Hi Melissa.
Hello. How is your Wednesday morning going?
My Wednesday morning is going very well. I'm sitting by the jacuzzi, feet up on a that's completely not true because you can see I'm in the studio. But we are stumbling towards the finish line or sprinting towards the finish line of 2020. Some of us with our undies on our head, some of us with our head under our arm, and just trying to figure out what next year is going to look like. And with that in mind, the great, the powerful Carly Taylor, wife of the far less significant and important and intelligent Paul Taylor, is here to join us. Hi, Carly.
Hey, Craig. How are you?
I was just complimenting you before we went live on one your office setup because you look like a complete studious academic with your great big whiteboard in the background and your studious specs on. Is that your whiteboard or is that Mr. Taylor's?
It's actually Mr. Taylor's whiteboard.
Of course it is. But you look smart in there. Well, you are smart anyway.
Oh, thank you. It's all a facade.
So you don't have your own whiteboard. I think you need to look into that.
I do because I was just listening to how many whiteboards you have in your house.
Yeah, but I've got I'm sick. Don't pay attention to me. I've got issues. There's not one person in the world that thinks it's a good idea to have five whiteboards in your house except me. But that's my one of my friends said to me, so single much? I'm like, oh, that's hurtful. But yes. How have you been?
Good, good. We've been okay. We're looking forward to the Christmas break. But I tell you, there's some people that post-COVID lockdown have it's just craziness. Mm-hmm. It's just catch up working long hours. And I know that it's been quite a stressful time between that COVID going from lockdown to lead up to Christmas. So I think by the time the listeners listen to this, that hopefully they're in a relaxed mode.
Yeah, I hope so. What I didn't expect was, but when I reflect on it, I understand why, but because I was kind of, as we were getting towards things opening up again, my overwhelming emotion was excitement and jubilation and joy, and I can go back to the gym and I can go and see my folks and I can, you know, I can do whatever. So for me, it was just almost like relief. But I was fascinated to hear quite a lot of people talking about the anxiety that they had now about stepping back into what used to be normal. Now they've become adapted or adjusted to living in this lockdown thing where now they're some people a little bit uncomfortable with the idea of going back to work, to the office, or stepping back into what used to be their normal operating system.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think it was a time to slow down, a lot of probably reflection going on, and then going back to a new normal. It's a bit of a change, I guess.
Yeah. But
people playing catch up as well. So I think 2021 is going to be an interesting time just to see the aftermath of COVID on so many different levels.
I think one of the things that it did was, I mean, obviously we were forced into a level of stillness and contemplation and isolation that most of us wouldn't choose, right?
Mm, yeah.
And you know, one of the things that I've mentioned a few times on this show is the idea of spending a few days a year, ideally 10, but most people can't do that, a week. But worst case scenario, 2 days a year, just you and you. You know, so no phone, no computer, no distractions, no conversations with other humans, no television, no Netflix, no phone, just you and your thoughts and your feelings, and just to see what comes up. And I, you know, I've worn out this story now, but I did that a bunch of years ago where I went into complete social isolation, no phone calls, no conversations, none of any of those things I said for 10 days. And it was a turning point for my life, because I literally wanted to, I realized that I was doing life on autopilot, and it wasn't a great autopilot. It was just a version of autopilot. It was Groundhog Day, you know, physically, mentally, emotionally, behaviorally, socially, you know, financially, everything. I was just doing all this stuff on repetition. And it was a habit, but it wasn't a really healthy habit. But what it did was, going away from my life, in inverted commas, was it gave me a level of perspective and awareness that I can't have while I'm in the middle of it. And I think COVID was a very long version of that for some people.
Yeah. You know?
And
yeah.
It made us reflect on how we do stuff and what's working and what's not.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. But, you know, I think also on that, I don't think you need to have that time away. You can, I mean, it kind of what came up in my mind when you were saying that is, we have so many distractions in our life, into social media, internet, you know, the news. The news was a huge distraction, especially over COVID and the US election. And I think we don't allow ourselves on a daily basis to have that space to be away from technology, to be away from the inputs that that brings. And, you know, it's what we were kind of touching on before we came on, is that when you have that space, that's when you can be creative. That's when ideas flow. And I think nowadays, when we have that space, we just want to fill it. And so we go and check on social media, or we watch them, go and look at the news again and see if there's any updates from 3 hours ago. So I think that's one of the things, and it wasn't on my list to talk about today, but it's create space each day that you can just have time to yourself away from all these inputs, whether it's first thing in the morning or whether it's last thing at night, and just see what comes up and be curious.
Yeah, I agree. And Carly and I were talking, and Melissa, we were talking before we started recording about where ideas come. And quite often ideas come when Carly's running, or when I'm in the shower, or when Melissa's driving, or when whatever it is. But, and it's in a situation where we're not really doing anything else. You know, our attention is not focused on 9 different things. And I used to think for a while that my shower was magic, because every time I would get in there, I would get great ideas. I'm like, fuck, I've just got to come and sit in this shower. I'm going to bring my chair in here because all the great shit happens. But it's funny because I seriously was thinking, not to do that, of course, but I was seriously thinking, why do I have so many good ideas to the point where, you know, I would have a whiteboard marker on my bench in my bathroom and literally come out of the, as I said to you guys before we went live, there's at least 50 times in my life where I've come out of the shower dripping wet and grabbed that whiteboard marker and scrawled ideas on the mirror. But it's because when I'm in the shower, my attention is nowhere. You know, yeah. I'm just, my mind is free. I'm not looking at anything. My, you know, I'm kind of liberated. And it's when you know, to an extent, where you get out of conscious thought, that other stuff just arises.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And attention is a skill to develop. And it was actually number 2 on my list.
Before you jump onto that, I want to backtrack one bit. Let's come to that in a sec.
Yeah.
Like, here's, let's talk about, so the idea is find some space, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Right. We all know that. And that is a great idea. I'm not discounting it. I think it's important. What I want to know is, it's like, oh, I've got to get in shape this year. And we say that 15 years in a row. Mm. Like, there's the intention, I'm going to create some space, I'm going to have some me time. And now it's New Year's Eve 2021. Like, you know, there's the intention, I'm going to find some me time, I'm going to get away from the computer, the phone, the this, the that, I'm going to free my mind, I'm going to meditate, I'm going to find space, mental, emotional space, physical space, blah, 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 and now it's July. See, and this is my issue with, and I have the same issue with my stuff, by the way. So I always say, I don't give a fuck what you remember or what I inspire you with or, you know, what's a lot, all that stuff's nice, but what I care about is what you do.
Yeah.
Because what you do determines your reality and where you're going to live and what you're going to create and change. So so tell us about how do we, well, I'm going to give one thought and then I want you to build on that. So I literally think, and this sounds quite dictatorial, but we're talking about you dictating your own life, so that's okay. Mm. Like, I think it's good to create absolute fucking non-negotiable rules for your own life in terms of the things that align with your values. If you say, okay, this year I really do need to just find some time moving forward, that might be every second day for 20 minutes or whatever it is. It doesn't need to be a huge commitment. But I think we need to obligate ourselves. Otherwise, it's just an idea that just floats out into the ether that we never actually, and we have lots of conversations about ideas and intentions and plans and goals. But the truth is most people don't fucking do it. So we've got to be practical and realistic as well. Like, most people don't get in shape. Most people don't follow through on New Year's resolutions. Most people don't use their potential. Most people do waste their time.
Yeah.
So how do we go, here's Craig and Carly talking on a podcast about me making time for next year. How do we, and we can't guarantee it, but how do we make it more likely that that'll be an actual thing?
Yeah, I think it's about getting out of the library of the mind, isn't it, and into that action of life and having a life of action. And I quite like the idea of algorithm. So we're always, there's always a situation and then a response. So if this happens, then this happens. And it's actually a good way to you could do 100 of these. Like, if I wake up, then I, you know, put my gear on, my fitness gear on, or if I'm first thing in the morning, I brush my teeth. It's like this, if then, if then, if then. And you can look at all the algorithms you have, and some of them are working well for you and others aren't.
Mm.
And then switch them. So it, you know, it could be, you know, people, if I get up in the morning, then I drink a glass of water, which is a really good thing to do to hydrate. If I have 2 glasses of wine at night, then I'm not going to function well the next day. That's me anyway, 2 glasses.
I heard that about you. Yep.
I like the idea of the algorithms, and that's about creating rules for yourself. And then it's that Kaizen approach too. It's looking at what can I do today rather than thinking of the big picture. Those small baby steps that are going to add up to big things over time. So a lot of the time, if we've got these huge goals, especially with weight loss, if there's a lot of weight to lose, it's just overwhelming. And if you're thinking of, you know, 6 months to a year's time, it's so far off. We just can't connect to it. So we end up eating the biscuits and the cake. So, but if we look at, okay, what's for today, just for today, this is what I'm going to do. And that's that Kaizen approach, which I love. It's those small things you do every day that are going to add up to big changes over time.
Love it. All right. So number one is space, awareness. All right. What's number two on your list?
Well, I was going to talk about some skills that come from Japanese psychology. And it's very much sort of aligned with what we were talking about just now. So because Marita therapy is known for being the psychology of action, and then there's Nikan, which is the self-reflection. And so just for those listeners who don't know, Marita therapy was developed by this Japanese psychologist in the early 20th century to treat his patients with this form of neurosis, so a form of anxiety. And so what he came up with is that we have two opposing desires as human beings. We want to live a comfortable life, but we also want to live a rich and fulfilled life. So the two are kind of opposed, aren't they?
The dichotomy, dude.
It is. So the first thing that I think to really kind of live a rich and fulfilled life is to accept the things that we can't control. And, you know, we spend so much of our precious energy trying to conform to what we want and what we desire and what we want our life to be. And our brains naturally want to fix and figure out all the stuff that's causing us to feel uncomfortable. So because we always want to feel comfortable again, we're always sort of skewing towards how can I feel comfortable. But the thing is that when we're focusing on stuff that we can't control, it's the anxiety, overthinking, worry, anger, resentment, and all that stuff. And then we have the emotions that about the emotions of feeling guilty, about feeling anxious, or we have these thoughts of I shouldn't feel like this, and then it's just this downward spiral. So it's about acceptance, is about accepting ourselves as being human, and that in 2021 you will feel all these different emotions. They will show up. And there's this lovely metaphor. It's like they're just like the weather. They will come and go. Mm. They won't stick around. They'll always come and go. So it's about making room for them and being able to lean into the discomfort rather than trying to control them.
I think, yeah. And I think I had a conversation with somebody recently, a dude, and we were talking about acceptance. And he said, I don't want to give up. I said, I'm not saying to give up. Like, no. I think people think that acceptance is giving up. No, it's not giving up. No. It's recognizing what's the best use of your energy and what's in your control and what's not.
Yeah.
Because we waste emotionally, mentally, energetically, physiologically, we waste so much energy on shit we can't change or control or sometimes even influence. And then it's 4 weeks down the track.
Yeah. And we haven't done anything because we're too scared to do it.
Mm.
So too often that we allow our emotions to dictate what we do or not do.
Mm-hmm. And that, as you say, that propensity that we have to be consumed, I guess, or overwhelmed or controlled by instant gratification, the need for instant gratification, you know, it's such a challenge because, you know, back to your example of the weight loss, you know, the 30, 40, 50 or that 6 or 12 month process. And the challenge is that if I eat the chicken salad right now that I don't really love, but it's good for me, I'm not getting instant weight loss. But if I eat the pie and the sausage roll and the donut, I get instant nirvana.
Yeah.
So I'll eat the pie, the sausage roll and the donut, and I'll start tomorrow. And then it's June. Right. Yeah. And so there's this immediacy of fuck. This feeling that I'm in of missing out of a mental or emotional pain or what I think is hunger, but it's not really hunger, it's a craving, you know, and I'll just do this and then I'll start tomorrow. And this is the constant inner dialogue is not now, soon, not now, soon, and now I'm 50.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it's accepting that those thoughts are going to come up and not trying to control those thoughts, because they will come up. You're always, you know, the instant gratification, it's good. You get that dopamine hit the donut brings and it feels great. So accepting that that's the case, but it's about diffusing from that thought and going, that thought's there, but it's not helping me right now and I'm not going to let it control what I do. Yeah. So put your attention into what's important at that time. And if eating the chicken salad is what's important, then eat the chicken salad. So it's not struggling with all that stuff that comes up because it's never going to go away.
Yeah. Yeah. Perfect. Love it. All right. Two down.
Okay. So that brings me to the skill of attention. And this is a big one. And when I went over to the Todo Institute in Vermont in the States to do this residential part of my Japanese psychology certification, Greg Kretsch, who was my teacher, said, life is not based on your life. Life is based on what you pay attention to.
Mm.
And I just love this quote. So attention is, it's a tricky one because it's about that self-focused attention versus the attention on the outside world and the people around us. So most of us are pretty preoccupied with our thoughts and opinions and judgments and our aches and pains and all that kind of me stuff. And Greg describes it as a psychological prison. And so a healthy mind is engaged and curious and connected with the world. And an understanding that we have these two worlds. We have this internal world and we have this external world. And there's this metaphor of a torch. So the beam of light represents our attention, and it's where are you shining the torch? Are you shining the torch internally on those thoughts, emotions, physical sensations that are always going to show up? We accept that they're going to show up, but if you're shining the torch on them, it's like throwing fuel to the fire. So redirect the torch to the outside world, redirect it to the people around you and to the environment around you. Mm. And one of the tools to do that, or one of the techniques, is you can, if you're feeling, just say you're feeling anxious and you can feel it in your body, you can feel it in your chest. So if you start thinking, oh, I'm anxious, I shouldn't be anxious, this is gonna ruin everything, and then it just spirals down. So redirect the torch to the outside world. So coexist while you're feeling anxious. Look for the color blue, look for five things the color blue. Or just use your senses. The way to get out of your head and into the outside world is to use your senses. So sense of touch, sense of sight, sound, and be curious about the world.
Yeah.
Yesterday I was picking my little boy up from cricket, and I had to wait for a bit, and there were these birds flying, you know, the little swallows, or I don't know what sort of birds they are, but they fly all around the oval. And I noticed they were flying in pairs, and they were so in sync with each other, and it was quite cool just watching them. And it's stuff like that. It's like these sort of, you know, if you keep practicing it, and it is a skill, but if you keep practicing it, you start to have these little moments of joy. And it doesn't mean that it's going to get rid of your anxiety or whatever is going on internally, but it's just redirecting your attention into the outside world and those moments of joy where you can focus on the detail and you can become curious about stuff. It's quite cool.
And I can promise you those birds are not thinking about what the other birds on the other side of the oval are thinking of their flying skills. What do you think Brian thinks of my feathers? Fucking hell, what's going on with your feathers? You need to go to the feather dresser. You need to go get a trim, bro. No, they're just flying. They're just in the experience, aren't they?
Yeah, that's right. And like all animals.
And this is, you know, what you talk about, the, you know, I call it, it's the same thing, but the duality of the human experience is our parallel internal and external existences, the physical, three-dimensional, practical, you know, life, government, weather, humans, bills, cars, houses, you know, birds, kids at cricket, you know, the external, and then the internal of thought and belief and values and ideas and passion and pain and anxiety and joy and love and pleasure and hope and despair and all those things. Yeah, it's trying to co-manage that in a healthy way where there's a nice exchange between the external, because there's, as your mentor said, you know, essentially there's what's going on outside and then there's what we're paying attention to, or I part of what I say is there's what's going on and then there's our story about what's going on.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And it's recognizing that, you know, that you don't always have to believe what you think, and it's just a narrative. I mean, I'll say that to myself all the time when these thoughts come up into my head that are just not helpful to me. And I say, Kelly, it's just a narrative. That's just my story.
Yeah.
And, you know, just create that distance and just observe them as just a story.
Yeah.
You know, we are a product of our lives from the moment we were born until now. If I had your life, then I would think the way you thought, because it's just the way our brains are wired. But it doesn't mean that it's set in stone. So if you can observe it just with curiosity and without judgment, and go, oh, there's that story that I'm not good enough, or there's that story or that thought that I'm overwhelmed and I can't cope. And how many times have you heard it before? Because a lot of times this is just repetition. But the acceptance part comes in, that stuff's probably not going to go away. And all those things that you just described are just part of being human. And we just have to, accept. It's not that easy. But
come on, Carly.
It's that acceptance that life is not always going to be comfortable.
Yeah.
You know, it's those two opposing, and stuff's going to happen. And we had COVID this year and other stuff happened to people that are in worse situations to other people. And that's going to happen next year because that's just part of the human experience. So I think there's, you know, this it comes down to discomfort tolerance, I guess.
And also sometimes, you go, well, yeah, this is uncomfortable. This is unfamiliar. It's uncertain. It isn't what I wanted. It isn't what I planned for, blah, blah, blah. But here I am.
Yeah.
So what can I learn? And how can I adapt? And what's something good? You know, what something good is, like, for example, and Melissa and I at the start of COVID, you know, we had all our business for the year fall over, all our income, as did many other companies. And so you're like, fuckity fuck. Oh, there's all right. And then, you know, a minute later or a day later, you go, okay, well, that's happened. So what do we do now?
Yeah.
Then you adapt and you learn and you try new stuff and some shit works and some doesn't and some is awesome and some is not so awesome. But, you know, and here we are 7, 8, 9 months down the track and we've got new skills and we've got new products and services and I've learned and Melissa's learned and we've got new insight and awareness and we've got a different plan for 20, even if 2021 there's no pandemic, our 2021 will be very different to what it would have been had we had no pandemic, because now, well, she knew because she's younger and smarter than me, but now I realize that, oh, wow, we can build a business and a brand and connection and following and we can help and serve online and offline. And so, yeah, it's messy and painful, but there's stuff to come out of it. And so when we reframe it and go, you know, okay, how do I become resilient? By the way, who wants to be resilient? Oh, me. Cool. How do I build resilience? Oh, by working against hard stuff. Oh, okay. Yeah, well, this is hard. Okay. Yeah. So cool. And or working through hard stuff or working through discomfort or uncertainty or mental or emotional pain. Like sometimes we don't need to change our life. Sometimes we need to change us.
Yes. Yeah.
Because when I change me, life is different.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's that Japanese term, arugamama, which is accept life as it is in this moment. So having that accept, which sounds like it's what you did and everything that you just said, it's about action. It's like leaning into that discomfort and as what do I need to do in this situation, what do I need to do?
I think a really good, this is going to sound silly, this sentence, but I think a good thing to think about in 2021 is how we think.
Yeah.
Like I always go, and I know the answer because it's a byproduct, as you said, of my upbringing and my programming and my conditioning and my Craigification through media, social media, school, friends, family, peers, experiences. But why do I think the way that I think? And which part of my, you know, what's healthy, what's unhealthy? What do I overthink? Why do I overthink that? And how can I change that? And how can I become more aware of that internal chatter and chaos and storytelling so that I might create a cognitive and emotional space that's healthier. Because then when we start to, you know, metacognition, when we start to think about how we think, then we're opening up a new level of consciousness and awareness that we tend not to operate in the autopilotness of life.
Yeah, yeah. So, and it's about thinking about what we think with curiosity. And not judgment, not necessarily at that moment trying to change our thoughts, because that's really hard to do. So many of our thoughts are just auto; they'll just come into our mind. But it's and it's that taking action part, because the mind will change after you've taken action. It's a bit like motivation; you can't wait for motivation, and hopefully it'll magically appear before you go out for a run. It's like, you know, if you're feeling lazy, put your gear on and get out the door and go for a run. Despite feeling lazy, and then the motivation will come after that.
Isn't it funny how unsexy, you know, self-control and discipline and structure and process and, you know, try selling that shit, fucking hell. Like this is one of the challenges, I think, and I don't mean to sound like Craig Harper, but like we're so hardwired for quick, easy, instant, painless, pleasurable, fun,
comfort.
You know, that's the shit that sells. And then you come on a podcast and you go, yeah, I get it. I know it sells, but it doesn't fucking work. So do you want to do what works, or do you want to do what's going to give you you know, 5 minutes of temporary, perhaps, shift? Or do you actually want to create sustained long-term change on a mental, emotional, physiological, you know, level and change your life? Because that stuff, that ain't sexy. That's just fucking roll up your sleeves and jump in, tiger.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's just, that's where the acceptance comes into it. It's just part of being human. And you're right, it's not sexy and it's not fun and it's hard. It's really hard. It's hard to feel, especially if you're going through an incredibly challenging time, it's really hard to accept that, you know, I need to coexist with these intense feelings and focus on my actions, you know, that are linked to my values. It's like, what do I need to do that's important right now, even though I'm feeling like this? Because all I feel like doing is going back to bed, or I feel like retreating or jumping into a deep hole. But it's about accepting that right at this moment, as humans, we respond to these difficult situations with anxiety, with these thoughts, because our brains are trying to protect us. If we didn't have anxiety, we wouldn't have survived as a species. So it's just that in this modern world, it's where our brains still think that there's danger, and that's why it responds in that way. It's just that we're not going to get eaten by a lion. But it's about accepting that these are normal human emotions, and it's just part of who we are. But don't let them dictate what you do, and don't let them stop you from doing what's important.
And be okay with doing hard things and being, it's okay to be scared. It's okay.
Yes.
It's okay to be uncomfortable. You know, and you said, I mean, you've said many great things, but I love you said, you know, be aware of your thinking or how you think with curiosity, not judgment. And I've got to do a speaking gig today, like in a room with humans, like actually, I know, Carly, with fucking people in a room. And I was thinking, because I tend not to plan, which will be no surprise to anyone, including you. And then I started to think about, it's at midday and we're recording this, it's 10:06. And I started to think about it and I could feel a bit of anxiety. And I went, what's that about? And it was, I just went, I was curious. I went, I'm a bit nervous because I've done a million gigs in the last 8 months, but they've all been, as Andrew May said to us on the podcast yesterday or recently, you know, I'm a, what did he call it, Melissa?
A laptop speaker.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I've become a professional, thank you, Melissa, a professional laptop speaker. And now to step away from the laptop and into a room full of humans, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's what I do when I'm not doing laptop speaking. So, but it's
you funny. Are human off after all.
Yeah, but exactly. But I still feel all that shit, but people don't think I do. I'm like, no, I feel all the shit that you feel, but it just doesn't, you know, it still limits me sometimes, I'm sure, but it doesn't run my life. It doesn't control what I do or don't do. It's just that I go, oh, that's interesting. I'm scared. Or that's interesting. I want that person's attention. Or that's interesting. That I just took my ego for a run. What's that about?
Yeah.
You know, it's just awareness of these things. And it's not like, oh, yeah, I'm sorted. I've got it all figured out. So just fucking don't look to me. I'm a dickhead. Just fucking don't follow me. I'm as lost as fuck. But just, you know, if there are some gems in these conversations or some ideas or insights or wisdom that you think relate to you, you know, apply them. See what happens. Yeah. And then if they work for you, then that's not about Carly or me. That's about that truth or that wisdom.
Yeah. And, you know, I think humility is something that came to mind then. It's like humility is seen as a character strength in Eastern cultures. And I think humility is such a good character strength to develop. And it's about accepting ourselves as humans and our limitations and our, you know, the things that come up that are just make us human, that we're not perfect. And I think there's, you know, just from my coaching, when I see people, there's a lot of people that think they have to have this perception that they've just got it made, that, you know, that they don't have any weaknesses, that and if they do call out for help and put their hand up, that it's seen as a weakness. And I think humility is something that is, you know, it's such a good trait.
I call that the difference between persona and person.
Yeah.
So stepping out of the persona and being you. And for me, like, I think, you know, if I'm being brutally honest, I guess there's always a bit of that. I try not to be that, but I'm not aware of it when I'm doing it, but maybe there is a bit, you know, because you're still the performer or the speaker or the storyteller, or there's that. But the moment probably wasn't a moment. It was probably gradual over time. But for me, being less worried about what people think of me and just going, okay, I'm just going to tell you all my flaws, fuck it, whatever happens, happens, right?
Yeah, I think that's an age thing, isn't it?
Yeah, but also, what are you saying? That's fucking
hurtful. Steady on. No, I resonate with it.
Steady on. Hey, don't fucking pigeonhole me as old. See, that was my ego, because I'm super old. But for me, honestly, just going, okay, here's all my issues, here's my bullshit, this is what I overthink, this is... I want you to like me. I want you to approve. Da da da. I'm fucking. I wish I was a bit leaner, or whatever it is. Whatever I kind of share, for me, it's been a relief.
Yeah.
It's been a relief to go, nah, I don't really have it sorted out. Like, yeah. And I know what I'm good at. I don't pretend I'm a. You know, I know that I'm articulate. I know I can tell stories. I know I can host a podcast. I know I can inspire people a little bit and stand. I know all of that, but I'm also well aware of the stuff that people don't see so much. The clever ones do. But the stuff, Carly sees it, Melissa sees it. But all the other stuff where you go, you know, yeah, I'm like you. I do overthink that. I do want people to fucking like me, and I do feel insecure, and I do... But and I think the value in that is, one, you're dealing with your stuff and you're being real, and two, which was an unexpected benefit for me, you actually create deeper connections and deeper value and deeper engagement with people than when you were the persona.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, I need to be inspirational and hilarious and captivating, and because I am Craig Harper, ready? Yeah, and we're rocking. It's da 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 da. You don't have to do that.
No. No, it's Brené Brown stuff on vulnerability, isn't it? It's like there is power in vulnerability, and people connect with it.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Now, where are we on your list? Are we done on your list?
Well, we kind of, yeah, we've kind of chopped and changed and darted back and forth. So, I mean, the other thing that I was going to bring in was around self-reflection, which we've brought into this conversation. But I think, you know, things like journaling have is such a good tool for self-reflection.
Mm.
And it's not only reflecting on yourself and what you can do better and learning, you know, from a self perspective, but also your relationships with other people. It's like, you know, we spend a lot of time worrying about what other people think, but also judging and criticizing and expecting people to be on the same page as us. And so reflecting on sort of what we get, the support that we get from other people, and what we also give them, because so much of life is about connection, and we have those different levels of connection. And I think, looking at your relationships, there's a beautiful reflection exercise called NICAN, which is the three questions of what have I given? You can do this daily or weekly or monthly or even over the year. What have I given? What have I received? And what troubles and difficulties have I caused? And this one is especially good in relationships, because it kind of it just makes you realize the impact that you have on the world around you. So it's a nice little exercise.
I love it. All right, so we're winding up. So what's going to be different, if anything, on Planet Carly in 2021? Have you got any I won't say goals, but any intentions moving forward that you're going to do something, be that about business or life or self-management or health or relationships? Or is there something or things that you think you might do different moving forward?
I think I am going to experiment with getting up earlier, because I'm finding, you know, that time is often just fleets by during the day when you're juggling so much. Mm. And I'm gonna get up earlier and use a couple of hours in the morning to give myself some extra time.
What time do you get up now, and what time do you intend to get up?
Oh, I get up probably between 6:30 and 7 o'clock, and I would like to get up. This is the intention, isn't it? Whether I put it into action, 5:30. And I know I can do it because I have a client in Ireland and we have our session from 6 till 7. So I get up and I say I can do it. And it's a good time to journal. It's a good time for self-reflection, good time to exercise. It's and in that time, not open my computer and not look at my phone. So no inputs.
So 5:30. So Carly Taylor.
Oh, you're writing it down.
Well, I'm asking you, well, why don't you just commit to it now while you're on a public forum?
Okay. I'm going to publicly commit to getting
okay,
up at 5:30.
Okay, so it's the 16th of the 12th as we're recording this. When yep. are you starting?
Do you know what? I'm not going to start in the new year. I'm going to start tomorrow.
So tomorrow is December 17, 5:30.
Yeah.
You've just said this to thousands of people. So now you've got a cheer squad and you've got a prick of a coach who just manipulated you on a podcast.
I just walked straight into that.
See, that's what, and do you know what? I'm not even charging you for this session. You're welcome. So 100 days, Craig. 100 days, that's your baseline, and then see okay. what happens from there.
All right.
So December 17, 100 days, getting up at 5:30, that's your commitment to Craig Harper, Melissa Cameron, and the world. Et al.
Yes, and, done.
Next time we talk to you, which will be within sight, within 100 days, we will see where you're at. And I might send you some periodic messages.
Okay. Love it. All right. We'll see how my life's changed in 100 days.
100 days of getting up at 5:30. That could even be the episode title. We'll see what happens. Tell people where they can connect with you.
So carlytaylorcoaching.com.au or Carly Taylor Coaching on Instagram.
And that's Taylor with a Y, everyone.
Taylor with a Y, yep.
All right. Well, you have a great Chrissy. And give your husband a hug from all of us. And we'll see you in the new year.
Oh, thanks. Thanks so much for having me. And Merry Christmas to you and to Melissa, and Happy New Year to everyone else.
Thanks, Carly Taylor.
The addict in your family might need you to take the first step for them. They Have Private Hospital for Addiction Treatment has the experience, staff, resources, and processes to help you help your loved one. DAHAB's model of intensive rehabilitation has revolutionised the practice of addiction treatment in Australia. Registered with the DHHS, Department of Health and Human Services, DAHAB now offers rehabilitation programs for drug, alcohol, and gambling addiction, and is a private health fund approved treatment service. So if you or someone you care about is fighting addiction, there is hope. Addiction is treatable. Recovery is possible. Just ask me, call. And there is light at the end of the tunnel. DAHAB Private Hospital for Addiction Treatment. Call DAHAB on 1-800-329-422 or learn more at DAHAB, DAYHAB, or one word, .com.au.